Blog Talk Radio.
Three-minute warning.
DFL, baby!
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the ad. Come on, go, go, go. Be a fit. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You have any more popcorn?
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat. Why? Because you can storm back. I know it. You know it. They tucked into their little beds tonight. They don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. But it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Candid Frank, the CFL is the best football in the world show. I'm Frank, the true double blue Argo lifer Stanishi and the host of the show. Please welcome our co-hosts and friends of the show, Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world Townsend and future owner. Manasseh, harder to find than Waldo Givermadine. Christopher, let's talk CFL and Lions Den Jones. Kelly, CFL know-it-all Bale. Bruce, the 13th man John Inch. Aaron, enough with the posting Macintosh. Gary, is it rock season yet, Groove? Stevie, the what else can I buy in Argo colors Richardson. Rob, the pistol J. Emery. Storm takes no Schmidt. Bill and Liam, the world travelers, and how? Serge, the CFL season ticket hoarder and collector, Duvidien. Derek, the bomber boot, Christopher. Kevin, Cheryl, and Cuddly Clan Kingsley. Kim, watch out, boys, Weaver. Debbie Riders, rule regardless, Wormspecker. Donna, I will admin ya, Gale. Aaron, William, the meathead Freeland. Jarrett, the roadie, and box J Boy Harris. Leanne, Leafs girl, what am I doing here, hockey? Steve, rock and roll Myers. Mike, Keeble, Cable, Cancellera. Reddit, retweet the show CFL every time. Aaron Russell, the organizer, Nagy. Doug, look at the big lens and say cheese, Lewis. Joe, I'm like a to listen to the show Sardella. Danny E, likes caring for elderly, Salonen. Spike, I will nail you, Sutherland. Andrew, the graphic illustrator, Crump. Frank, the mascot, Kirby. Tony, I wish I could agree with you, Frank Dejeuner. Becca, I will deadlift you, Veludo. Tangerine, I have a dream queen. Annette and Paul, that's my beautiful son, Jason Pottinger. And finally, Randy, Captain Video Christinger.
We're the Argo cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. We're the Argo cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay! Woo. Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank!
Go Frank! Ah, baby, 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 baby. A great week of CFL football. Yeah, I'm happy this week. My team won. Just shining the old Grey Cup, getting ready. We won a game, so this means the bandwagon is, the doors are open. Jump on, baby, because the Argos are going all the way. Does that sound familiar? That sounds like this, the refrain of about 7-8 teams. Now, the Argo game was an awesome one, I'll tell you. 31-5 over Montreal. You know, they go into a bye week this week. Steve Slayton was awesome. He showed the fans what he's all about. Other news with the Argonauts is, oh boy, John Bon Jovi, he's not going to move the team. That's what he told the Buffalo News. No, 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 we're not moving the team. We're going to leave it in Buffalo. Yes, we will. And, of course, we think we're talking to Toronto the Gullible. Yes, but we're not. We're talking to, this is Buffalo. Oh, we know no one wants us. And like that person you brought home last night, you know, that person you brought home last night, the only way to get out of bed, baby, is to chew your arm off when you're associated with Buffalo in the NFL. Yeah, the NFL's going to keep Buffalo. Forget about it, baby. They're staying in the NFL. And we're all going to have enough fun watching the CFL grow week after week. That's all that's going to happen. As mentioned, in continuing in the East, the Montreal Alouettes lost 31-5 to the Toronto Argonauts. Well, last week they brought in an old favorite. Don Matthews is back with the team. That's right. One of the greatest coaches in the history of the CFL. And he's a real motivator. He really is. This week they've gone to a younger brood. His name is Jeff Garcia, him of the record that Bo Levi Mitchell was trying to break and failed. No, he's not to be confused with the former Grateful Dead lead band member. I'm kidding. Okay, he is a former CFL and NFL great. In fact, he was an understudy he was an understudy to one of the greatest quarterbacks in Argo history. I'll leave you to figure out who that is. And he has a brother that was a receiver. And you know, it's fantastic. It truly is fantastic that Montreal is pulling out all the stops. Or is it pushing the panic button? I really can't tell. Sometimes you have to wonder. You know what I'm saying? Continuing in the East, Winnipeg defeated Hamilton 27-6. C.J. Gable had a tough night. Ty Cats had a slow start. McDuffie. Boys and girls. McDuffie. This Irish kid, or at least kid with an Irish name, he was incredible. I just sat there and watched this guy run, and I'm asking myself, is he touching the turf? It don't look like he's touching the turf. I think the dude is flying. He flew. Man, he was awesome. He ran back a punt for 60 yards, TD. What else do you want from a guy? C.J. Gable had a tough night, but you know what? C.J. Will work things out, and this Ticat team, after a slow start this year, and a slow start in particular in this game against the Bombers, they recovered in the second half, and Lefevre and company did a good job of making it a contest. In fact, taking a lead, but the Hamilton defense proved to be very porous at the very end when it really mattered, and they continued to give, to put wind under the sails of the Drew Willey phenomenon. Now, I don't know if you noticed, though. We'll save that comment for when we talk about Winnipeg. Ottawa Red Blacks, Saskatchewan 38, Ottawa 14. Saskatchewan 38, Ottawa 14. Expansion team? Maybe they look like one this time. But really, the Riders were on fire, man. And they really were. But let's talk about the Red Blacks, and we'll talk about the Riders on their part of the program. They were literally cold and ineffective. Burris looked average at best. And, of course, they were full value for the loss at 38-14. But, Red Black fans, don't lose hope. There's always a great opportunity for your team to bounce back. I really think they really do need some decent receivers who don't drop the ball. And it gets to the point where Burris looks pretty bad because his passes don't get caught. Now, as I said, we'll go to the West now, and we'll talk about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Chris Getzlaff, Will Ford, and a strong defense with an effective Durant. 38-14 Saskatchewan over Ottawa. That shouldn't be a surprise. After all, with those guys playing the way they're playing, they're pretty much nobody's going to stop them. Now, I just said that with a gun held to my head by a few Riders fans. So I just want you to realize that. I mean, you know, Rider, how Rider fans are. I mean, they get one win and already they got the parade route figured out. And they've already got the diapers printed for the 2014 Grey Cup win, the 102nd Grey Cup win. So they'll probably be wearing them before they even win the Grey Cup. Nah, just kidding. Rider fans are fun. Everybody loves a gopher. All right, so the Calgary Stampeders. BC 25, Calgary 24. What happened? It almost was one of those situations. It didn't work quite well for, Bo Levi Mitchell. Bo left Mitchell one game short. And as I said, Montreal has the guy that he was trying to catch, former Calgary Stampeder quarterback Garcia. So they remain tied. And the one thing I noticed about this game, guys, I couldn't tell which were the Stamps and which were the BC Lions. You know, it was like watching a team in the mirror. I mean, even the interceptions were identical, if you notice. Amazing, right? And these two teams very evenly matched the score, very indicative of their evenness. But I got to tell you, BC proved when they get angry, they want to get even, and they did, and they took it out on the Calgary Stampeders. So Calgary loses 25-24 to BC. And as we mentioned, BC, of course, in the West, big bounce-back game for them over the rival Stamps. And, you know, Kevin Glenn looked really good and really bad all at the same time. But he did enough to win. But really, special teams, incredible for BC. And as Christopher Jones has mentioned to us over and over and over and over and over again, you know, they have two incredible running backs, and they really do, the BC Lions. And they showed us exactly why they're tough to beat, and that is why they're tough to beat. They've got a great running game, one of the better running games in the league, and they did a masterful job of beating the favored, you know, I would have favored Calgary. All right, let's go to Winnipeg, and of course, we talked about Wowzer Willie, and he did it again. He lifted his team in the late stages of a game to hand, in this occasion, the deflated Ticats a loss in the dying seconds, starting from the shadow of the goalposts to the end zone with a TD. This kid is amazing. You know, last year we talked about it being the year of the backup quarterbacks. Well, baby, the backup quarterbacks have arrived. Not all of them have established themselves the way we had all hoped, but they did establish themselves, and that is the key. We have a lot of great young blood in the CFL, and that's something that makes the CFL such a wonderful league. It gives opportunity to those that may not get a chance to play elsewhere like the NFL. And we have these diamonds in the rough that show up that end up going to the NFL. Why? Because, quite frankly, they come here to the CFL. The game is so big. It's so easy for a quarterback with any kind of ability to establish himself as a star and earn a pretty good check. Just ask Ricky Ray, you know, ask Anthony Calvillo, you know, ask all these quarterbacks that have been through the CFL, Warren Moon, that have proven themselves here and proved themselves in the NFL. All right, well, we're ready to start the show. We'll take a short break, and we'll... Nah, let's not take a short break. Let's go right to the telephones. Let's go right to our buddies. We lost a couple already. We'll start with... okay, who's first on the list here? It's Bruce John Inch, the 13th man. How are you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing good on a Monday. How about you?
Awesome, awesome.
I knew you would be, but you'll be tied for first at the end of the week, so... It's all good.
But, hey, listen, it doesn't, you know, Bruce, it, you know, it doesn't
East
matter, East right?
It's going to be so close.
It doesn't, you know? Matter who, it doesn't matter. You know why we watch the regular season games? Just to get us
tease we love football,
for the playoffs.
Huh?
Yeah, and just to tease us to get ready for the playoffs.
Gives
because
us something to talk
the,
about.
Oh, and something to do and something to watch and begin to actually build
fantastic
our hopes
games,
up.
Fantastic games, though. Fantastic
oh,
games,
incredible
man. I got,
games.
You have to love these games, man. Some of these are
totally.
So close, you know, back
wow.
and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I couldn't believe it, man. I was dying watching this game on TV, man. I lost my voice, and it was craziness.
Oh, totally crazy.
Can't
oh, you know what? I really enjoyed, you know, actually, to be honest, the least enjoyable game was the one my team won, the Argos. That was the least enjoyable one. It was almost sad to watch Montreal implode like that.
I think
like
it
that.
Is, too, man. Being a a big name in CFL history, the Montreal Alouettes, and they're just shooting horseshoes this year. I don't know what they're doing. You know?
I don't know. Well,
I can't justify. How can you justify that?
You heard what
you know?
I said. They brought in Jeff Garcia.
Yeah, but now how many Indians or what's the old saying? How many chiefs do you need to control your Indians? You know.
Well, apparently he's there to well.
He's an advisor.
He will be advising them on what the coaches should be doing, which means he could actually, it sounds to me, if you read between the lines, he could be firing
yeah.
some coaches.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know?
Well, have a say in it.
And he's got
anyway.
Higgins' approval. Well, they need an offensive coach, right? They definitely need an offensive coach.
Well, because the quarterback really had nobody to coach him, right?
And he doesn't look good at all. He looks he looks like he's taken three or four, not just one or two steps back. He looks like he's taken three or four steps back.
Not, you know, it's a shame watching it on TV, this guy trying, and he's just not.
Yeah.
For some reason, man, I don't know.
But I'm really happy.
You guys played good, man. I'll give you that. The Argos suck, but you guys played good.
They played all right.
You guys won the game. That's all that matters, bro. You won the game.
That's all that matters. I mean, if you listen to the Winnipeg coach, who cares how you win as long as you win?
Well, like my coach said, he'd rather lose 47-0 than compared to the way we lost that game.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know?
Hey, you have to admit, though, you don't give a Schmidt how you win as long as you win.
That's right. All that matters at the end of the weekend is the W in that column.
Right, Schmitty?
That's right, sir.
How are you, Mike? Steve? What's his first name? I don't know. Schmidt.
Storm.
Schmitty. Storm. That's it. I'm sorry, man. And we even
I think his first name, his real name's Gavin or something. Isn't his first name
Darren,
Gavin?
My real name is.
Oh, Darren. Yeah, okay. Gavin?
Did you guys get that big rainstorm there, Frank?
Oh, not that bad. We kind of missed the rainstorm.
Good.
Any luck with seeing the space station?
No. Are you supposed to see that tonight?
Oh, did it already? Yeah, did it already go by?
I don't know.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I missed it. Did you take my camera?
I didn't even know about it.
Did you do it? Oh, okay. If they tried, that means I might have got a picture. See what happens. The show at a monumental moment in history, the space station went by, and we were able to supposedly see it. No, but that's yeah. But if you take a movie of it, you can do that too, right?
You'd need a tripod.
Yeah, we had a tripod. Yeah.
See, I'm in. Okay. I never knew that was going
to
happen.
The whole world. Does the whole world have to hear how poorly we get along?
That's why you were married for so long, Frank. That's what keeps you together.
There you go. Okay, so the space station picture-taking ceremony did not work, did not happen. But we can watch some of it on TV. It's all good.
But apparently, while you're on that subject, and then we'll go back to football, is on August the 15th, there's going to be a media show, they said. So keep your eyes open. Yeah.
August 15th. Is that a Monday or a Wednesday? Is that a Monday or a Wednesday?
Friday.
I don't know.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh, so I just got to step away from the... I just have to hit the pause on the football game.
Yeah, it's on a Friday.
There we go. We're good. All right. Back to... Okay. I'm trying to remember who this person is. Hello? Hello, I just turned
your mic on.
Tammy!
Hi.
Tammy, how you doing?
I'm great.
I hate Blue Bomber fans. They're getting to be like Ryder fans.
Okay.
No, not even close. No way.
I'll give you that. Not even close.
not even close.
And then, of course, there's the odd BC fan that makes you want to hurl.
TJ.
I'm still in the habit of holding my breath.
There you go. And, of course, the Wanderer, Mike Townsend. What team are you rooting for this week, Mike?
On, y'all?
What's going on?
I'm all right. How you guys doing?
I'm good.
Great.
Good. How's the family doing? Good?
Oh, man, doing real great, man. I enjoyed my one day at home, you know. Mm-hmm. It was a memorable moment for me, even though it was one day. Hey, I enjoyed it.
Good.
That must be Christopher. Oh, no, that's you. Christopher, you there or what? Or is it Manasseh?
No, I'm here. Am I here?
Yeah, you're
here. Am I talking?
Yes, you're talking.
You're hearing? Okay.
We're hearing.
I got a house full of people here. I'm sorry. I got a big event happening in my house. There's like 20 people outside having dinner, and I'm in here talking to football with you guys. So,
hey, don't be rude.
No, I want to talk about this week's games, and then I got work to do. So I'm not going to be here for long, but I want to be here with you guys for a while because you're my family.
Okay, well, we're sort of a we're a family unit of some sort.
The CFL family.
There we go. It's a big family. Okay,
I guess
in honor of in honor of Chris Jones's needs, let's jump right to it so we can talk about the games, and we'll start with you. I guess we'll start with the first game, and that was the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Hamilton Tiger Cats. We saw Winnipeg, Willie, build more of his mystique, taking the team from the shadows of the goalpost late in the game and, you know, leading them to that winning TD with seconds on the clock, if any. I think time was out by the time they scored that touchdown.
It was.
Great game
yep.
for Winnipeg.
Yep.
Great game for Hamilton to make a game of it after a very slow start. I got to tell you, I was impressed with both teams. But McDuffie, of everything that happened that game, McDuffie was, to me, the biggest thrill of the day. That guy amazed me. That guy did not touch the turf. I swear to God, he floated. And he was quick. He was awesome. What did you think, Bruce? Very impressed with your new
turner? He was, man. You see him on that run down. I think he was 67 or 65 yards. He ran that one down.
60,
and,
yep.
And he stopped right there on a dime, man. He pivoted and went the other way and then shot right into, like, fifth gear right away. There was no blue second or third.
Amazing.
Just boom. And then
I think
he was amazing.
And I think that's why Ticat fans should be, elated a little bit. It's too bad they couldn't come up with that victory. But, Bruce, if you were to sum it up, what would you sum up that game? If you were to add anything?
You know what? Yeah, I'm disappointed in the loss. But I'm looking at these games that we lost, and we've lost three games within 8 points total. So, and the East is going to be close enough as it is. I'm not worried about getting in the playoffs. But we have to stop taking dumb penalties, selfish penalties. That's just uncalled for at this late. We can say it's late in the season. Come on, man. We're in game week six already. So, you know, enough is enough with the penalties. But I was happy with the team's the way they came out in the second half. The first half, it's like they didn't even show up.
No kidding.
But we have to get a running game going. That's what we have to do, you know.
And that penalty at the end of the game that made Austin look like, you know, the Rock'em Sock'em boxer, you know, when the head comes off?
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
He was blowing a gasket there, man. He was blowing a gasket.
Yeah. Well, I don't like to mention players' names, but one of our other players took a selfish penalty, and that would have stopped the drive. And then on the pursuing drive, they came down, scored a touchdown. So, you just gave them 7 points. So,
that really hurt.
They would have been off the field. But
okay,
that sums up mine. Let's hope Friday will be a different
issue. How do you feel about that game?
I only watched bits and pieces because I was babysitting. But other than that, that's why I love the CFL, because it comes down to the last second sometimes.
Lead is safe.
Exactly. And it was good. Like, I've probably seen maybe altogether, maybe two quarters altogether, one in the first
Okay,
half,
well, fair enough. Well, we got other people that can talk about it that have something to say. I don't think Tammy has anything to say about this game, right, Tammy? You don't have anything to say. You don't care about this game. The team doesn't mean
anything. Well, what can you say? 22 yards to, what was it, 294 in the first half? But, you know, actually, you know what? Winnipeg and Hamilton have a history of being tight for years already. They always have great contests. Although Hamilton did beat the Bombers the last five or six times.
Yeah, Willie did something that Winnipeg teams, I think it was seven games in a row or something? It was the first time
a lot
in seven?
A lot. It was quite
a few.
Yeah,
five or seven, something like that. Yeah, and
right.
And it was an incredible game. It was enjoyable to watch, wasn't it? I mean, aside from the fact that your team won, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but I walked away from the TV and I thought, well, here we go. And the phone rang, and my mom said, "You better keep on watching." I couldn't watch. It was just too much. It was like,
but that's what
he's
makes
so.
That...
What I think I admire about him so much, he's so composed. Like,
well,
he keeps his cool. He
did
maintains.
Get some help. He did get some help. I love the kid. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, in a little bit of a way, I think Hamilton gave it to him. You know, as good as he is, which, you know, he took advantage of an opportunity, and that's the key thing, you know. But a lot of times, you know, teams make, you know, shoot themselves in the foot, and I think Hamilton shot themselves with a 12-gauge shotgun. They really hurt themselves. But Winnipeg's full value for the win. It doesn't matter how you win, just that you do. And their coach, that's what he tells them.
The play for the touchdown wasn't even special. It was a run-of-the-mill
pop. It was weird.
Right? I mean, and it was high up in the air, and I didn't know who was going to catch it.
It was a volleyball pass.
Yeah.
It was like watching it. It was like in real speed. It was like watching it in slow motion.
I know.
You know what I mean?
It was.
I was waiting for it to come down and sitting there looking, how can the defenders not knock that down?
Yep.
I mean, I felt like I could have reached
into
the television.
It seemed like it took forever to get there.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
And the pain developed for Hamilton, and I can imagine the hernia for Winnipeg fans going, catch the ball. Please catch the ball. It was funny.
I kind of feel bad for Kent Austin because I think he's a better coach than what's happening.
Yeah, well, there's nothing you can do about that. Thanks, Tammy. Let's go on to Mike. Mike, Hamilton, you have some views on the Hamilton-Winnipeg game?
Yeah. First quarter, first half, 9-for-20. Lefever, that wasn't going to cut it. But, man, we're talking about Drew Willie, man. You know, I told y'all guys about him some time ago before he was even starting Winnipeg, man. Cool hand Luke, what can you say? You know what I'm saying? I done seen him do it before plenty of times down here in the States, so I know what he can do. That guy's not a fluke by any means.
Okay, well, the Clint Eastwood reference is always a winner. You know, I think on the other hand, I think if you were Kent Austin, Eastwood looked at him and said, do you feel like today is your lucky day? And Ken Austin would have said, hell no. It was over
and,
for that.
And you know what, Frank? I do got the rear blue. Hamilton has to get this running game going on, man. I don't know what's going on with C.J. Gable, but it's starting to show that they're missing Siobhan Walker. They're missing the old Chevy in the backfield.
Yeah,
and you know, and the threat of Siobhan Walker, I think, helped C.J. Gable a little bit.
Yeah, it did. And now, you know, he gets this second-year slump going on. I mean, you got to remember, man, ain't no spot safe in the CFL, so you can be cut any time. So he better get it together.
No kidding. Hugh Charles, Will Ford. There's a few good running backs that have been cut, baby. What do you think, Christopher?
Well, this week I've had a bit of a challenge. My internet went down on Wednesday, and I just got it
back
yesterday, and Friday my cell phone was stolen.
Oh.
So
wow.
I have had no access to anything. I ended up going to the bar to watch the Lions game, and that was really the only game I got to see. I think Winnipeg Blue Bombers are playing above their pay grade right now. I think their record is phenomenal at 5-1. I don't believe they deserve it, and that's my own personal opinion. And
that's fine.
But you doesn't like that?
No, it doesn't.
And,
Tammy's sitting on her 5-1.
I think they're
going to
come crashing down to earth really quickly.
I don't know about that.
Well, exactly.
And
you know what? Hats off to 5-1. I agree. I wish I was 5-1.
You know what? You know what
I
really? You know what I really like? I really like the fact that a couple of teams that haven't been playing well the past couple of years are doing really well. How well they do and for how long?
That's awesome. And
it's great. And you know what? Here in the East, we're so much caca right now that, you know, it's good that there's a couple extra good Western teams because I don't feel guilty at all. I would not feel guilty at the end of this year or badly or frown on a Western team coming into the playoffs through the Eastern Division. To me, it's only fair. You know, if my team's not good enough, especially with the semi-balanced schedule, because the difference in who you play isn't that much. It doesn't vary that much for any of the teams. You know what I'm saying? So you know, if you finish ahead of somebody, whether it be in the East or the West, you pretty much deserve it. And it's great in the CFL. See, that's another reason why the CFL is so wonderful. We even things out, even at the end of the season. And that's great to me.
Yeah,
it's
except
fantastic.
For the fact that there's only crossover.
There's only what?
Right now there could be two crossover teams. There's only one crossover team. Right now there could be two, and it would be legitimate. The first place team in the East is below the last place team in the West right now.
Yeah, but it's still early. It's still early.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, of course it is. But do you see it changing? You see it getting
absolutely. I do.
Better
absolutely
in the East.
Absolutely, I do. I see. Okay, here.
And you think that it's going to get worse in the West? You don't think the West is going to improve at the same pace?
No. I'm not saying it's going to get worse in the West. But let's, Christopher, be realistic here. And I know you don't like me saying this, but I'm going to say it again. The injuries in the East hurt the East because they don't have the same kind of depth the teams in the West have.
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Is that what you said?
That's what he said, but I can hear you and you're right.
Okay. Okay.
I can hear you, you're right.
The East isn't as deep. So the injuries hurt the East far more than they hurt the West. And when the Eastern teams get back their regular squad, which they will, and or fill with holes that, you know, fill the holes that remain with decent players, which they'll be able to find, you know, we've got three teams, we've got an expansion
seriously,
team.
Seriously, you're saying that the Eastern teams have more injuries than the Western teams or
no,
than
no,
any
I've
other
team? I've
never
said that. I've never said
that. Well,
I
you're just
say
saying
that
the team
never
does,
said
isn't,
that.
Isn't the depth of talent.
I didn't say that.
You just said
no,
that.
No, I'm just asking. You said that when the Eastern teams get their wounded players back, that things are going to change.
I don't think you heard everything I said. I think you only heard part of what I said. I said that
okay,
the talent is deeper in the West. So injuries don't hurt them as much as they do to the teams in the East who aren't as deep. So what happens is it affects them worse. Not because they're better than the West, but because they're going into the season with not as much depth. In my opinion, it hurts the East more when they have numerous injuries equal to the West. The West can weather them a lot better than the East can injury. Their teams have been you know consistently having basically the main part of their players are still there. You know, you look at Montreal, transition. You look at Ottawa, expansion team. You look at Hamilton. You know, they had a good year last year. They played over their head. They were a bit of a surprise. I'm sorry, Bruce, but that's part of why they did so well last year. Nobody expected that much from them. Now there's a book on them. And the Argos are just a team that is basically being babysat by their owner and living on a string.
You want to see transition? Look at the Riders.
Yeah, no. The Riders can solve a lot of their problems just with the amount of money they spend on coaching. You know, they have at least 25% more coaches than the rest of the teams do. They spend their excess money on coaches. But all I'm trying to say is that the East will play better. I believe they will play better. They will catch up to the West, but not past the West, not past all the teams. But I do believe a team or two will show some light. It probably won't be Montreal. It probably won't be Ottawa, and it might have to be Toronto and Hamilton that pull up the slack and basically make it a battle to make it reasonable that only one team cross over. In answer to your comment, you know, I'm hoping that
there
at the very least
there can be only one team cross over. That's the rule.
No, but also make it look like it's fair because, like you say, yeah, you said it yourself. I think that's what you said. You said you can only have one, implying that there should be two, maybe by records. And I get
I
feel you. But what I'm saying is I'm hoping the East recovers enough that isn't a comment that's necessary at the end of the season. The only comment that'll be necessary is, you know, four of the Western teams were better than three of the Eastern, or, you know, two of the Eastern teams, you know. So they get an extra one.
We all hope
that's
for that.
Well, if that's
we all
the
hope
case.
For that. It's a boring season if it doesn't happen.
Well, there you go. Well, the battle's in.
Well, it's not as
and,
good.
And it's awesome. So now with the Argos and the Alouettes, this was my least enjoyed. I enjoyed this game almost as much as I enjoyed the Saskatchewan Red Blacks game, the Rough Riders Red Blacks game. This game it was lovely to watch my team get up and go and do some fine work. And in my opinion, they didn't give Montreal a chance. And they did a great job beating them, but it wasn't a titanic battle. I wouldn't con anybody into thinking I thought it was that. But I was very happy to see the Argos right the ship, and they looked okay, and they looked like they might be ready for a bye week. Got some confidence, get in some good practices come Thursday when they get back on the practice field, and hopefully they'll be ready after the bye week this week. How about you, Mike? How did you feel about the Argo-Alouette game?
Well, It was the least enjoyable. I really enjoy it, man. I sat back, we're trying to find something else to watch, man. I'm just tired of looking at Montreal offense, man, just go down the tank.
And it's becoming clear with the hiring of Garcia, they want to help their quarterback. They believe in their quarterback, and they just don't think they have the right people teaching him and coaching him and directing him, right?
That sounds like him. The way it is, Frank.
Yeah, Mike just disappeared.
We may have
lost. Yeah, yeah, we'll move on to you, Christopher. You're next up on the list. I'm going up and down the list, and hopefully Mike will join us back. He'll be able to finish his thoughts. Yeah, Montreal is just a ship, an utterless, you know, rudderless ship right now. Now, there's Mike back.
Well,
Mike,
you called
saying,
it, the game wasn't Titanic-like. It was. It crashed like they're sinking like the Titanic.
Yeah.
So
Mike,
they
brought
in
Garcia.
They're sinking, and they're sinking fast.
And they brought Garcia in the hopes that this guy will be able to help the quarterback. We know that's why he's here, right? He's not here for any other reason.
I don't know.
Sorry, Mike. That
Detroit
was me.
Smith, plain and simple.
Yeah, you know what? My thing is this. They need a new offensive coordinator, bottom line. They need an offensive coordinator. And as I was saying before my phone hung up, at least we know it's not our Troy Smith, because the quarterbacks that played through the whole game, him and Tanner Marsh, they both sucked. I mean, Tanner Marsh had a couple of completions. That was okay. I mean, but through the whole game, man, they struggled, man. I mean, that's not Montreal offense. That's not Montreal's offense. They're trying to make it to something that it's not, and they just need to go back to basics. Let them quarterbacks play at their strengths and quit trying to change them into being a pocket passer. If he's not one, if he's a mobile passer, let him play to his strength. That's the way he won in college, and that's what got him where he needed to be. Let him play to their strengths. Quit trying to change them. Bottom line. You can't make nobody to Anthony Calvillo.
You're 100% right. Okay, Chris, you want to jump in on that one? Christopher?
Yeah, well, Mike's bang on. They're trying to turn a mobile passer into a pocket passer, and he's not going to be Calvillo 2.0. It's just not going to happen. So,
and it's,
you know,
clear.
It's Montreal
clear.
Game, the Montreal's sinking faster than they're just going downward in a spiral. I mean, I'm enjoying the hell out of it after Mike laughing and laughing at DC, but, you know, hey.
We all get our turn, buddy. We all get our turn.
Yes, I do.
All right, how about you, Tammy? How do you feel about the Montreal Alouettes-Toronto Argonauts game? Did you get a chance to tune it in?
I think Dinwiddie needs to be taken out of there. I think he was thrust into there, and it was a gray bear.
How do you hire a guy named Dimwit? How do you hire a guy named Dimwit?
I don't know. Maybe it was a pretty blue eyes. I don't know.
That's funny. I'm making fun of
him. Well, what's his name? Rick Warman was fired, so, right?
Yeah, but you know the problem with Dimwitty is that he can't go from being a player to a coach. There's got to be a little bit of a learning curve. You know what I mean? Like, it's a whole different kettle of fish, playing and coaching. And that guy's put in a position where he's going to fail. And I always dislike seeing that. All kidding aside, making fun of his name, that wasn't nice, and I apologize. But truthfully, you can't take your uniform off and then come back out as a coach. There's some, you know, that's disrespectful to the coaching ranks, in my opinion. They deserve, you know, being a coach deserves a lot more respect than that. And it's not disrespecting.
Well, that was just one
players.
Of the panic buttons I hit, right?
Yeah.
That's what I think they're doing now, anyway.
Yeah. It's beginning to look like Trestman was the guiding force on the team, and he kept his GM, Jim Popp, on a leash. Because I'm not very confident. I used to think far more of Jim Popp when Trestman was the head coach, and I think it's deeper than Calvillo. It's starting to look now that Trestman was the guy that guided the ship, and he probably kept Pop in line, and I don't think Pop's in line because he's making some horrible decisions. I mean, horrible decisions, not bad decisions, horrible ones. You wouldn't think would come from a guy who has that much credit as a great mind.
Well, he said he's going to get some help for Dinwiddie, but, you know, I think it takes a little more than help for Dinwiddie. I think it needs someone who makes the calls for Dinwiddie.
Well, you know what? They're bringing in a guy that was a great quarterback in the CFL.
Yeah, Schoenert or whatever was it?
No, Garcia.
Garcia. Jeff Garcia.
They brought Jeff Garcia in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
well,
the
that can't hurt, right?
Hopefully not. And he's an ex-Calgary guy, so I know he's not full of Schmidt. Right, Schmitty?
That's right.
What did you think of the Hamilton game?
I
mean, the Montreal game, Toronto-Montreal
game.
Yeah,
I was going to say, we just went through that. I sort of agree with you. Like, Toronto didn't play their best game, and Montreal just totally sucked. I mean, just brutal. I told you since day one, Troy Smith has got to go. I don't care who you bring in. I don't care what coordinator or what coaching staff you bring in right now. I mean, that guy's got to go. He throws the ball 10 yards over a guy's head. How many games does he have to do that before he gets pulled? And he gets pulled and he gets put back in and then pulled and gets put back. Like, just,
he
I
looks
don't
like a guy who has no confidence. You know, and this lack
whatsoever,
of this lack of confidence is 6 weeks into the season. They've been chipping. Something's been chipping away at his confidence. That's for sure.
Well, and I don't know what it is, and it's lost right now. And
it's the coaches.
Can you get it back? I don't know.
It's the coaches, and they're hoping to get it back with Jeff Garcia, who's a quarterback who may be able to give him a guiding hand on the CFL and how it works, and also be a buffer between him and the news release clearly said that he has some input on how the coaches will coach, and almost sounded like he will decide. Garcia's going to be deciding whether there are coaches there that shouldn't be there. So
exactly.
It's a panic button, and there's a hanging threat there in my mind to the coaching staff.
Can I tell you something? I've been watching CFL for 40 years, and the thing is, I have never seen a quarterback in the first five games throw a ball like just not even close to a receiver like that, and still. They have trust in him. I mean, it's good to have trust in somebody, yes, but that's just I don't know. I always told you from day one, too, the guy should run more, too, because he's one of the fastest in the league.
What if they've got a leash on him and they're not letting him run, and this is a guy who spent a career throwing on the run, and now they're asking him to stop, aim, and fire. Some guys can't go from run and gun to stop, aim, and fire. There's too much time to think. In my mind, that's the way if I was in Smith's head, that's what would bother me more than anything. I'm so used to doing everything on reflex, and now they're telling me to set up and throw. But that's not what I do, and that's what Mike is trying to say, that's what Christopher is trying to say, and that's what I'm trying to say, is that this poor guy, his mechanics are getting screwed over by virtue of how they're asking him to play quarterback.
I wouldn't say poor guy. Like, hello, like he's, you know, a Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, he's...
No. Hey, listen, for me, it's not about money.
I'm not feeling sorry for the guy.
But
I mean, the coach can't come out in the field
money.
And throw the ball for you.
It's not about money. We're talking about...
No. I'm not talking about the money part.
Oh, well, why can't I say poor guy?
I say poor guy, like you feel sorry for him.
I do.
I don't.
I do.
I don't
feel sorry for him. You don't have to. But I'm telling you why I feel sorry for him, because he's failing. This is a guy who won a Heisman Trophy, who obviously has a little bit of skill, you know, and it's not showing up on the field. And you know, to be that, listen, I feel sorry for him only because he's so used to being great, and then all of a sudden he's not anything like... He's the shell of a person he used to be, and I would hate to be in his mind right now because, you know, the ghosts that are rattling around in there, it's got to hurt mentally, that's all, just as a human being to another human being. But as a football player, buddy, you've had every chance. You're a professional. You should, regardless of what you're asked to do, you should perform. So in reality, as a football fan, hey, too bad, buddy. If you can't perform, see you later. You'll be gone, just like a GM, you know.
Well,
that's the way it works, baby.
Well, exactly.
I agree with you. As a football fan,
yeah.
I agree with you. But I kind of feel sorry for this guy's talent being wasted as just a human to a human type thing. I'm discerning between what I'm talking about here. This guy's a good kid, and I like his character. He's not a whiner. He's not a complainer. He's a team guy. This is why I feel sorry for him, because it's not like he went in there and said, I'm the king of the castle, and you're a dirty rascal. He came in there and said, you know what? I'm just one of the players, and I want to do the best I can. I want to lead. And the kid's not getting the kind of help that he deserves. That's all. You know, I'm happy for this kid. I'd be happy to have him.
He's got great character. I agree with you 110% on that. But
how can
on the other hand, too, And on the other hand, too, is I feel bad for the fans that have to boo their team off the field. You know, that's just...
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
You know, it's
you're
not
right.
good. But, I mean, it does happen in every... It happens in every team, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, we all go through those days.
But, you know, is Montreal going to go 1-15 this year or 1-17, you know?
No, I think they'll once again hopefully straighten things out and
well, hopefully.
And
that's
forward.
My second favorite team. But, I mean, they're peeing me off right now because... I just don't agree with the quarterback and Dumb Whittley or whatever the heck his name
Dumb
is. I mean, it's
Dinwiddie.
Frustrating because everybody's so used to Montreal, you know, being a force in the CFL for so many years with Cavill, and you know, it's frustrating, and not because they lost Toronto, but it's because it's getting worse and worse.
You realize there's only one letter difference between force and farce, right?
Yeah.
And they're turning into a farce, not a force. And it's too bad. And like you said, they're a great team. Guys like my buddy Bruce John Inch, we feared the Montreal Alouettes for many years. Well, we might not have feared them, but we always knew that we had to be really good to beat them, right, Bruce? And right now,
that's
it
right.
doesn't look
that
way.
It was one of our bigger rivals, you know. But absolutely, yeah, I feel bad for them. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Everybody goes through it.
It's not only the quarterback, you know. There's 11 other guys on that field that have to do their job, too. Just can't blame
it on
him.
And three sets of them.
Pardon me?
And three sets of them, 43 guys, that aren't happy to be in this situation. There's a lot of character guys there that have had much better careers than they're having right now. And it would make me think twice about, you know, wanting to play for the Alouettes. And this is where the ship starts getting a little detoured. And, you know, I feel sorry for S.J. Green. But you know what? Every team goes through it, like you guys said. Let's move on to the next game, the B.C. Lions. We'll start with Christopher. Well, no, he likes to be last when it comes to his team. So we'll honor him with being last. So we'll start with you, Bruce. B.C. Lions, Stamps, 25-24. Another one of those games that you were referring to. A great game.
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, and I wanted B.C. to win it, so I was happy there. But, wow, Calgary's a force to be reckoned with, too, this year. That whole West End, you guys got a fight on your hands. Everybody out there. Everybody. That's going to be so tight, and I can see two crossovers coming up. But, you know, we'll worry about that when the time comes. Like you said, there's lots of time left.
Oh, but, plenty of time left.
If
I got hope for your team
and
my
stuff,
team, I'm beginning to get concerned for the Red Blacks because their GM is not making the moves he should be making. He should be getting receivers that Burris can throw to. So you know that's as far as the East is concerned. There's some fixes that could be made, and hopefully they will. That's neither here or there. The BC Lions and the Stamps, it was like watching a mirror play itself. Did you notice that?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah.
Great defense against great defense, great offense against, great offense against great defense, turn it around. The special teams, they were awesome. The pick sixes, they both had pick sixes. Their quarterbacks did great and also, were humbled by some great defense. It was an incredible game, to say the least. I really enjoyed that one as much. About as much as I really enjoyed the Winnipeg-Hamilton game far more because of the way Hamilton came off the mat. It was like watching but still, the BC Lions-Calgary Stampeders was two machines, the victory wasn't because somebody had a slow start, caught up and passed. These two teams, this was a heavyweight fight, and it was incredible to watch and to witness. I truly enjoyed it. How about you, Schmidt, did you enjoy that game between BC and Calgary?
Not with the loss, no.
No,
but it was a good game. It really was. And if Mallett wouldn't have fumbled there towards the end, maybe it could have been field goal range for Paredes. But Schmidt happens and stuff like that. But I like that Mallett. He was good. He did really good.
Wasn't
and,
he?
But Kevin Glenn was good too, and he showed that he had no nerves. And, he played good, and something behind my brain said, it's going to come back and bite you in the Schmidt, right?
Behind.
Yeah, Schmidt, same thing.
Yep.
It was frustrating. I did a few F-bombs here and there, but other than that, you don't like to lose, but, I mean, a loss is a loss, and next week.
And you wait till next week. You got next week right away.
Yeah, I play Ottawa, so, you know, you see what happens. And but it's good. You know, no fans were booing or anything like that. It was good. It was a close game. Down to the wire sort of thing, just like the, and I agree with you, the two best games are Calgary, BC, Winnipeg, Hamilton. So, you know, people, CFL fans in States and Canada, I like to see that kind of stuff. I like to see close
it
games.
It was incredible.
Keep blowout, right?
Let's give Tammy a shot. Tammy, what's your opinion of the BC-Calgary game?
Oh, I loved watching Martel Mallett. He was awesome.
Wasn't he?
116 yards. He was great. I found him exciting.
Football. 4 years out of
yep.
football, he comes back and does that.
Yep, so I don't know how badly they missed John Cornish. Kidding.
I know how bad they missed John Cornish.
It was a great game. It was nice to see BC come back from that humiliating loss against Winnipeg.
Oh, I think I heard a shot cross the bow of Christopher Jones' BC Lions ship. Hey,
I agree.
But they came back. So, you know, I kind of wanted Calgary. I like Calgary. I wanted Calgary to lose.
That wasn't a game against Winnipeg.
No, it wasn't. But I wanted BC to come back. I kind of wanted Calgary to be dethroned because, you know, in return what happened. We're number one.
Well, there we go.
Sorry.
That rider,
I'm sorry.
That,
I just had to say it one time, okay? Because it's probably going
to
be a really short.
That kick it, didn't it? Didn't it? Oh, shoot. We don't
Come
have any
Come on. It's
going
to be really short-lived,
no
so I just had to say it once.
It's no fun to make fun of the rider fans when there's none around. Well, Christopher. Not Christopher. We're gonna go to Mike Townsend. Christopher, you just hold on to your thoughts. We'll leave you in the center of the picture. Mike, best game of the week. BC Lions 25, Calgary Stampede 24.
By far the best game, one of the best. Like I said, the Winnipeg Hamilton, BC Calgary. Mallett played his butt off.
Didn't he?
And one thing I would say, yes, he did. He played his butt off. And all it takes, I don't care who you are in the CFL, what you're giving to your team, all it takes is for another guy to come out there and play his butt off for a season, and it does make you expendable. I don't care who you is.
Yeah.
So, therefore, BC on BC, Andrew Harris wore down that defense.
He sure did.
He wore them down. He wore them down. And I was glad for BC to win. I wanted Kevin Glenn to go back there and get him a win. Shut them up. I mean, it wasn't a blowout game, but a W was a W. I don't care how you get it.
Yeah, but I agree with Austin. It's worse to lose a close game than it is to get blown out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Kevin
Glenn. That defense in the second half was wore down. They got the running game going, and they couldn't stop Andrew Harris, man. I mean, come on. BC Lions got the best two-headed monster in the backfield in the CFL, the best.
You know, Harris was this year there's a few players that are, like, you could just see they got this fire going on, and he's one of those guys. You know, we're seeing a few players in the CFL that are kicking it up a notch, and Harris is he's been kicking it up a notch from day one. The team hasn't the team hasn't played well a couple of times or well enough in support of Harris's great work, but boy, he has been lights out. The kid's been awesome.
And you know what, Frank? And another thing I'm going to add too, they do got the best running back corps, but you got to think, they also have Tim Brown that can actually throw in the backfield. And if they can mix that up, man, they still have the best running game in the CFL.
Now, there's no doubt about that, especially with Cornish hurt. I mean, you know, Ottawa has a great running game. But the problem with Ottawa is, you know, they got one guy that really can carry the mail. Right? They got one guy that can really carry them. The same with the Argos. You know, right now, they got a couple of good running backs. Now, Slayton's come in. Maybe, maybe the Argos might have a but not yet. Montreal, let's not even talk about Montreal. That takes care of and Hamilton now with this kid, McDuffie, he was impressive. And if C.J. Gable can find his way, but still, to your point, in the West, BC, has a running back tandem like no one else. I know Will Ford's doing great in you know, in Saskatchewan, but it's basically just Will Ford, you know. So yeah, the 1-2 punch, BC's ahead of everybody. No doubt about it.
Oh yeah. That's why I can't wait to see BC and Saskatchewan go at it again. That's going to be a bond burner. I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. And you know, it almost doesn't matter who's playing. And it's funny, eh? We're getting these blowouts and these really, really tight games. You know, so, you know, I don't know how long these blowouts are going to last. And I don't know how long these really tight games are going to last, if these teams are going to even out a bit better than they have been. But regardless, if you're a CFL fan and if you can watch two of the games like we did this week, the other two really don't matter that much, because anytime you can have two great games like that a week, you're satisfied, and you are, you know, you have your fix. It doesn't matter. That's the nice thing about the CFL. You know, we don't have that many teams, and we have fans that love more than one team. You've heard it here. I joke with you about it. You know, I joke. I don't joke with Schmitty about it, but he's made it clear he likes more than one team. And a lot of CFL fans do talk about who their second favorite team is. So there's a lot of great opportunity for some great games, and it's been outstanding. This past week was just incredible.
CFL, baby. What can you expect?
It is what it is, right? It is the best football in the world.
In the world.
And that's why we talk CFL, right, Christopher?
Bang on.
Your turn.
Hey, a couple of things here I want to cover for you here. First off, Mike, Tim Brown is not in the lineup. The only he played it was our kicker was injured, and Paul McCallum took over all kicking duties.
That's right.
Schmidt is an import. So as soon as McCallum freed up, Tim Brown not playing is a ratio issue. Okay, if McCallum is taking all the kicking duties, we can put Tim Brown in the backfield for kick returns. But when Schmidt is playing, then Tim Brown is sitting. So he's not really an option because we want to kick.
And what about Schmidt?
That's why.
Holy crap. Hey, Christopher, do you want me to call you?
The rest of the
team. Why don't I phone you? Why don't I phone you, Christopher? Your internet's not working that good.
Okay, just give me a second here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want the phone. Do you have a phone?
Yeah, don't worry about it. Christopher, carry on with your comments. Don't worry about it. That's right, your phone was stolen. I'm sorry, I forgot about that. Okay, Tammy, while I had you comment on the BC Lions Calgary Stampeders game, right?
Uh-huh. You were talking about players that are really standing out, you know. You're talking about
we'll do that after we finish the circle. Oh, you know what? We still don't forget, cuz I don't want to do what I did last week. I forgot a game. We still have Saskatchewan and the Red Blacks to talk about. We'll go back we'll go back to Christopher once he sorts out his audio issues. So we'll start again at the very top of the list with, and I'll bring him back in. We'll start at the very top of the list with Bruce John Inch. Saskatchewan 38, Red Blacks 14. I heard the parade routes all figured out now that Saskatchewan beat an expansion team. How thrilling to listen to those Rider fans talk about what a great victory it was. Bruce? Okay, we'll try Schmidt. What do you think, Schmidt? Saskatchewan 38, 14 over the Red Blacks. Are the Riders that good? Oh, Chris, you're back, Bruce. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, it was
talking about Riders, Red Blacks.
Yeah, sorry, I just had two comments. I said I had great news. I didn't watch that game, and I really haven't been on Facebook much this week, so I haven't heard the Riders troop me. So it's all good.
Okay. Okay, how about you, Schmitty?
Well, I didn't watch too much of it, but I think the West is going to be a funny division this year, and it's hard to pick who's going to win. And Saskatchewan's good. Calgary's good. BC's good. Edmonton's good. Winnipeg's good. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, you know, it's just going to come down to the end and see what happens. But I didn't watch too much of that game, but so much for my Ottawa Red Blacks getting into first place in the East. But you never know.
They're working hard to prove that you're not right.
They look bad, though. They look bad. They look bad, just like Montreal. Maybe not quite as bad as Montreal, but they look bad. And it's something's got to change there, like you said, Frank. Something's got to change there, too, right? So.
I hear you.
How about you, Tammy?
How about you, Tammy? Saskatchewan. You have some Saskatchewan friends. You're, you know.
What? Will Ford is killing me.
Isn't he?
He's killing me. I wish he would stop, but, you know, they scored with him, didn't they? But I don't think Saskatchewan's as good as the score says.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I think they're intense, but they seem, you know, why did Ottawa score 14? And, by the way, Frank, I wanted to ask you, that touchdown that Ottawa scored, I've never seen that.
Remind me.
The first one the one where they came down, it was called a punch. I can't remember. Somebody help me out because I don't know. I've never seen it.
I'll bring everybody in.
I've watched football for 36 years, but I don't know what it is. The first touchdown Ottawa scored.
Like the onside punt kick or something like that?
Yeah, what is that, Mike?
The onside kick and he caught it.
Oh.
That's it?
Yeah. Yep.
I didn't even know
that.
That's
when they're trying to kick it out of the end zone, and it's recovered by the defensive team.
Well, that doesn't happen very often because I researched
it,
and it was like, yeah.
Well, what usually
that
happens.
But I don't think Ottawa's as bad. Sorry, go ahead, Frank.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead. I was just going to say.
I don't think Ottawa. I don't think Saskatchewan is as good as Ottawa. People think Ottawa is bad. Burris.
They're not.
Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
No.
I was talking to myself. I was talking out loud.
I don't know. I think Ottawa, you know, yeah, they're new, but I think they have Burris. It was so bad because it looked like Burris was bad, but Burris, he did overthrow quite a bit. He was yanked. And what was that guy's name that took his place? He was good.
He's the XBC guy.
Well, I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah.
DeMarco. No, that was, I'm getting them mixed up now. That was Hamilton, wasn't it?
Yeah, but when you get the game out of hand, and Saskatchewan just, every team does that. They fall back and let teams, you know, they're not as intense as they are as when they're playing in a close game, right?
Yeah, I think Saskatchewan likes to beef up and intimidate in the beginning, and I don't think, you know, I think you got to know how to handle the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and their fans.
Well, you're right, and that's one of the bigger battles. You know, last year Caleros tamed Saskatchewan at home. You get them reeling a little bit, and once they start losing a little confidence on the field, or they not you know being as dominating as they normally are, the fans bail on them right away. They get very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
They get very quiet. They're very loud when things go well, and they're very quiet when things don't go well.
And I think their intensity just
wait and see.
What's that, Mike?
Just wait and see when they're going to lose the streak. CFL is, and all them other chat rooms are going to be so quiet you can hear cricket piss.
And that would be this Thursday is the start of their losing streak.
Oh, come on. There's no Saskatchewan guys in the room.
So?
You know what? And I'm like, no, hold up, Frank. Hold up, Frank. You know, I'm a Saskatchewan guy, too. And I'm a, you know, I call it like it is. The Ottawa Red Black Saskatchewan game, man, it was like Tammy hit it bang on. It's not that Saskatchewan is that good. Ottawa's not that bad. They just played. They beat them up, and then that was it. But now that the West teams are coming into their own, like BC, Winnipeg, and even Calgary, just wait. Well, I can't wait till they play BC again. BC is going to thump them guys. And I'm going to be sitting there throwing popcorn at the dang on the screen, cheering for them. You know, my Saskatchewan Rough Rider fellow fans, they talk a lot and they do it all that, which is good. Everybody cheer for their team.
Well, that's
but when they lose, I mean, when they lose, Cheer for them still when they lose. Don't get quiet.
Yeah.
Don't get quiet.
Yeah.
They're a lot like Leaf fans. They remind me a lot of Leaf fans. They
yeah,
truly
I
do.
Agree.
That's what they remind me of. Okay, yeah. we got somebody else coming in. Oh, how you doing?
I'm wonderful, Frank. Can you look at your Facebook and phone me back?
Yeah, I thought I did.
No. Well, you
did.
Can't phone my phone. It was stolen.
No, the number you put on there.
You didn't phone me, no.
Okay, I'll try again.
Try it again.
Honestly,
try it again, buddy. Cheers.
Okay. Sorry, bud.
But anyways, getting back to the Saskatchewan thing, try having family from Saskatchewan and your own family members turn against you.
Well, that's fine, man. I mean,
no, it's not
Montreal, fine. Toronto, same rivalry in hockey. It works fine. You know, like I said, though, I'm just calling it like it is. Like, you know, Leaf fans, they lick the boots of some of the worst hockey players and worst organization in the world. You know, that's the part I don't like. And you know, when the team's
mm-hmm.
winning, it's like they're the greatest team since cornflakes. And as soon as they hit the skids, the quietness begins with complaining. You know, and that's what Saskatchewan fans do. They do the same thing. They start to complain like crazy about the team. They want to trade their man.
Please leave your name and number, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks. Bye.
Well, that's what was interesting about the beginning of the year when Drew Willey went to Winnipeg from Saskatchewan. I was being told that he was their sloppy seconds. Good luck with that. You're going down, you know, all that stuff. And now when I was defending him because I knew more about him than just Saskatchewan. So now I'm saying, so, you know, what now, guys? And they're like, well, we gave them to you.
You know what, Tammy? I'm going to tell you something, Tammy. Actually, I was one of the ones that defended Drew Willey when he was in Saskatchewan also. I said, whoever gets this guy, they're going to get them a good quarterback because if anybody watched him in the other league besides the NFL, like the USFL, he won championships. The guy wins.
Please leave your name and number, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks. Bye.
That's the number. Sorry, guys. That's the number that Christopher gave me to call.
Right. When he played
for
Las
Vegas
Locomotives.
You're right.
They won three championships under Jim Fossil, and I think they went. Maybe I think they lost like three games the whole 3 years they was in existence with him being a quarterback.
You're right, and most of the people that talk don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know about the background.
It isn't really important to know the background, though, because if you're a fan of a team, you really don't care. You might sound like you care. You know, like I'm a giant-ass Argo fan, but I couldn't tell you every player's name. I couldn't tell you where every player came from, you know.
No.
I mean, let's be honest, right? So what happens?
Yep.
We start making up stories. You know what I'm saying? We start making up stories about why our guy is better than
your guy. But he was like the
guy.
Great hope for the Bombers, you know?
Right. The same.
And you know what? I'm not taking anything away from Saskatchewan. They're a good team, but we
great
all
team.
Know they always get
fans.
That five. They get that 5-6 on record going on. The next thing you know, the offensive line stop playing horribly. Durant gets sacked and get injured. They go to three more game losing streak.
Okay, that's the third time
Chris,
I called Chris.
This is Candace Frank Live. Why don't you give us a call when you get a chance to?
No, I turned it off. He, last three times I called. He's given me some lady, maybe his wife's phone, to call.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't make a mistake because I paste and click. But that neither is here or there. So I'll wait for him to message. Chris, if you're listening, tell them to turn the phone on because the phone might be off because it's going right to message right away. There's no ringing happening.
Right.
Anyway, okay. So basically, the Saskatchewan Roughriders beat an expansion team. And, you know, the reality of them being an expansion team is going to set in. You know, they are an expansion team. They have a better opportunity than most teams have in the past. We all agree that they, you know, just by virtue of the players they were able to pick up. You know, but the thing is with the CFL, there are so many talented players in football. Even though you might lose a couple of regulars, you can find guys to, like McDuffie. As much as you want to say that Hamilton misses, you know, the running back that's making hay for Ottawa right now, there are lots of running backs in the league,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there are lots
yes,
of running backs
are.
That
yes,
you can, that you can bring in. So, you know, as much as they might have gotten experienced CFL players, which is always good, it's always good, the key component is the Canadians they get, the front line. You know, they went with offensive line and defensive line. Unfortunately, they didn't have higher picks when it came to, you know, to receivers and such. You know what I mean? But they went...
You hit it bang on, Frank.
They went in the direction mm-hmm. that they have to go in. They have no choice. And all that,
right.
That's why I'm saying when I say that Ottawa, I'm disappointed in Ottawa because they're not fixing some problems that even I, who am not a football expert, and I wouldn't pretend to be, they need some help in receiving. They need guys that can squeeze the ball. And you know, Burris is starting to look not very good now. And, yes, you're right. He looked like he was overpassing. But you know what? He's trying to force his play, and it's a lot. It's just a better version of what Smith is going through in Montreal. When you don't have receivers, I don't care. Like you hear these announcers, and they talk about, well, you can't have a great receiver without a great quarterback. Excuse me, you can have both. You can have a great receiver and a great quarterback, and you could have a good receiver and a great quarterback, and they can make plays. But if the receiver can't squeeze a ball or run under a ball, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
Don't matter.
It don't
matter. Right.
You need a
right
go
now,
ahead.
Frank, you could put Peyton Manning in that Montreal offense and he'll still suck right about now. Seriously.
That's right.
The offense is bad. It's the offensive coordinator. Now what Montreal should have done, to be honest with you, if you're going to have Troy Smith as your quarterback, you bring his offensive coordinator, that was his college coach, to tell you what his strengths and weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
Have them kind of peek and tune the offense a little bit to his strength. That's what they're not doing. And if you look on the sidelines after the game, the receivers, they still go over there, pat him on the head, give him a hug, talk to him. They're not mad at him because they know it's the offensive coordinator's weaknesses. That's why the reason why the offense is sucking that way. They're not mad at him, but as
so
a team, you still got to come out there and play.
It's not technique; it's tactics. That's the problem.
Yep, that's it.
Okay, listen, we're going
to
take a short break, and then
let him play to his strengths.
We can continue this conversation. We'll open up the conversation. Hopefully, we'll be able to find Christopher again. And Christopher, I have called that that number a couple of times, and it just isn't getting lucky for me. I'll give it another try while we go for break. You're listening to Candid Frank and, of course, the crew. And, of course, we all know that the CFL is the best.
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat. Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it, they know it. Tucked into their little beds tonight, they don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. Well, it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it.
One, two, three.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Oh, my God.
One, two, three.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. Yay!
Woo.
Go, Frank. Go, Frank. Go, Frank. Go, Frank.
There you go, Frank.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Come on, go, go, go. Woo!
Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having a little popcorn?
We'll find out now if we got... We'll try again. We'll see. Let's see if we got a message from Christopher. Is he ready? Ladies, what?
Your name and number, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks. Bye.
At the tone, please record your message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Well, I can't press pound, or can I? Can I press pound? What do you think, guys? Can I press pound?
You can.
I don't know. Not with this computer, I don't think I can. No, I can't hit pound. So, Christopher, that's like, honest to goodness, you've got at least 4 missed calls. That's about the 4th missed call. I've called the number that you left me on Facebook, and we were really looking forward to your completing your thoughts on the BC Lions Calgary Stamps game, especially since BC won. And, you know, we don't know how many times that's going to happen, so we kind of, you know, we kind of want to make sure that you get your chance to, you know, like the peacock, you know, show off your nice colored feathers. And unfortunately, we can't because we can't hook up with you. And I can't do the other number because someone stole your phone. I hope it isn't somebody that didn't want to listen to Christopher on the show. No, that wouldn't be the case. Anyway, okay, I think that's a long enough message. Christopher, we'll talk to you when we get a chance to talk to you. All right. Well, as I said, we'd open up the conversation. We're talking about Troy Smith, who, in my opinion, I said I felt sorry for the kid, only because it's got to be frustrating to know, you know, we do things every day that we think we have in control, that it's no problem to do. How do you feel when you go to do something that you normally do every day and it isn't working for you? It's frustrating. So you can imagine in the high energy, you know, mentally wound up world of being an athlete, how difficult that must be to go through, to fail miserably when you know you can succeed. It's got to be frustrating, right, guys? How about you, Presley? Right?
I agree.
Go ahead, Mike.
I agree.
Okay, go.
But if he wasn't a Heisman Trophy winner, he would have been gone a long time ago. Guaranteed.
Well, yeah, that's probably true.
Agree with that, guys?
Nah.
Well, but he has a history.
That's my opinion.
You know what? Being a Heisman Trophy winner, if he wasn't a Heisman Trophy winner, they still would have gave him a chance, man, because the way he played last year. If you think about who his offensive coordinator was last year compared to this year, it's totally different. He played to his strength last year when they let him play. You know, we've seen the bright spots of a future CFL quarterback, you know, coming into the league from the NFL. Now, you change offensive coordinator, and then, look, your whole team sucks. Seriously. If you change the offensive coordinator and change the plays, again, to Troy Smith's strengths, he would be a better quarterback. Let him get out the pocket. Let him run. Let him throw on the run.
Exactly.
I mean,
I agree with you. I agree bringing in somebody that he knows from his past sort of thing, but you know what? That's not going to happen, right? I mean, that's why I love Dickinson in Calgary because, you know what, he'll eventually be Calgary's head coach, and he's great. He's an awesome person.
Because
awesome
he knows how to run an offense.
If you, right. He knows how to run an offense. If you put Marsh or the other dude in that break in there, they still struggled. So it didn't matter who the quarterback was. They still struggled.
Hey, Mike, let's try it a different way. Let's try
it
a different way. Let's try it a different way. You know, we always have to remember that there's no sport like football where the team concept really does matter. And it doesn't matter what position you play. Everybody has to do what they're supposed to do. Let's go on the assumption that the quarterback is being asked to play not to his strengths, but to play a certain system that the coach believes in, that one coach, whatever the coach that has control, believes in. Could it be also a mistake on looking? Could they not be repeating the same mistake? I'm just putting this out there. That the guys, the offensive line is being asked to do things that's not good for them either, that doesn't put them in the best light or helps them to be successful. If you're too devoted to the system and the system isn't at least considering the talent you have, the whole thing falls apart. You know, because it's great to have a plan, but if your guys can't execute the plan, then it's a bad plan. And I think it's deeper than just the quarterback. I happen to think that, you know, the offensive line and the rest of the schemes that the team puts together makes it difficult for them to succeed. I think because there's a difference between coaching players and players being coached. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to coach players, but you know, the players have to be coached. You know, the players have to be coached. And sometimes this is Milanovic is a player's coach. He coaches the players, right? You know, and that's what you need to do. The successful teams in the league, look how quickly, I've said this in sports for 3 decades, 4 decades, on television, on radio now. It really, when you get somebody that knows what they're doing and coaching a team, the success is a lot quicker than you realize. Look what's happening in Edmonton. Look what's happening in Winnipeg. You know, why are those two teams changing drastically over 1 year? The same reason why Montreal is.
Coaching.
It's the exact same reason.
They're coaching.
It's the coaching.
Yep. And Dinwiddie, how long has he been since he had a uniform on? Was it, last year, year before last
year.
Or something like that?
Last year.
Come on,
that's
man.
That's too soon,
guy
right?
Even,
That's too soon.
He didn't even go through the transition period.
There was no transition. And I don't blame him for that.
Come on,
I don't think it's fair to him that he, you know, he made a mistake. He, you know, you gotta do what, you know, if you're going to succeed, you have to put yourself in a position to succeed. And don't let me sell you on the idea. It's not just about, you know, Chris Jones going to Edmonton. And it's not just about our special teams guy being the head coach now in Winnipeg. It's about those guys picked situations. They know the game well enough. They picked situations where they thought they could succeed, and they made the right choice. So it's not just about getting married. It's about picking the right wife or husband, if you follow what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, yep. And that's the mistake that happens in sports every time. You know, success succeeds. Failure fails. That's what happens. It's just the way it is. Congratulations to Winnipeg and Edmonton. I feel sorry for Montreal. Toronto's in a bit of a...
Yes.
You know, I think Toronto's... Our biggest problem with the Argos is we got an owner who doesn't want the team, and that message goes from the top to the very bottom. You know, I'm not saying he's not a great guy. I have all the respect in the world in Brayley, but when an owner says, I want to sell the team, you can't tell me that builds confidence in the organization.
Well, is it going to be both teams or just the Argos?
You see it in your fan support, too, right?
Right.
There you go. And it's sad to be, like, if I was an Argos fan, I'd be teed off, right?
I am teed off. I'm teed off because the guy who's running the team doesn't want the team. I think that's terrible.
That's sad.
It doesn't evoke confidence, does it?
No, it doesn't.
No, it makes it hard to sell season tickets when the first thing the owner says is, I want to sell the team within 2 years. I mean, come on. You know, it's
all
not
right,
rocket
science. But you got a lot of classy players out there that's just going to sit there and play for the fans no matter what instead of
absolutely.
It, you know what I'm saying? Yep.
Absolutely. But it would be helpful if the players thought that the owner was in for the long haul. You know?
Uh-huh.
You know, remember.
Well, exactly. Look what Calgary went through with the Faturk there years ago in the 90s. I mean, it was just stupid. And the fans were just, like, sick and tired of this guy, and they started his quarterback at... They started his son, the owner's son, at quarterback. It was just retarded. Like, nobody wanted that. And he thought he could be a quarterback in this league because his dad was the owner of the team.
Wow.
It don't work that way.
Wow.
Don't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's you know, it's tough being an owner. It's tough being a GM. It's tough being a coach. It's tough being a player. And if you're not all pulling in the same direction, you ain't going to win. There's no way you're going to win. You got to pull in the same direction.
And
that's
you got people on your own team going against each other, and you don't know what happens behind closed doors, but guaranteed
absolutely.
It does happen. Guaranteed in Montreal, it's happening right now. People are talking about other people, not necessarily to their faces, but it's happening. And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse until something, I don't know.
Oh, they're human beings. They're human beings. Let's move on.
Yep.
Let's move on to some more what I like to call more pleasant news, right? As soon as I can find, here we go, blah, 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 blah. I'd like to talk about the players of the week. And I'm trying to remember where to find it. And,
be honest, Frank, I didn't even see who the players of the week were. So.
No.
Well, I don't know.
Me neither.
I didn't see it either. Well, you know what? We didn't post it. I've had a slow. I've had a couple of weeks where I haven't been able to be paying attention. And I'll tell you right now, this is when I miss Christopher because he'd spit it out in 3 seconds. So I'm going to work.
They don't have it listed yet on CFL.ca.
Well, that's what I'm looking at, and it should be there. Well, they have who was Week 6's top performer. Drew Willey,
Dan LeFever.
Steve Slayton, Andrew Harris, Rob Bagg, Quincy McDuffie, Keon Raymond, Brian Peters, Solomon Alimian, or other. And you know what? You're right. I don't think they have them. I don't think they have them yet. Because usually they're front and center, and I don't see anything in reference. Well, why don't we decide who we think? Let's talk about who had the best week this week. I'll start by talking about this kid McDuffie. I was amazed, and by the way, on the subject of a Hamilton player, Bruce John Inch had to leave. He wanted me to say goodbye to everybody, and have a great week, and he wishes everybody the best, and Argo suck. So you know, I like McDuffie. Quincy McDuffie was impressive to me. He came out, I don't know, did anybody know about this guy? Because I surely didn't.
No, I didn't.
Quincy McDuffie, I'm looking him up now as you talk about him. I don't have nothing coming up now because my signal is bad. But I have something on him in a minute.
Well, you know what? He was in the NFL.
Yep.
Wide receiver for
the Denver Broncos. Yep.
Right. 5'10", 178 yep. pounds. At this point on this feed, it says he was 23. I don't know if this is up to date to today. I'm sure there's looking. No, they're talking about. Oh, yeah. Giants beat Buffalo 17-13 in the Hall of Fame game. Yeah, so he's only 23. This is a young kid.
23.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
And he was released because he had a hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He has no statistics.
Nope, none.
If you can imagine it. He has no statistics, but there is some film on him, which I'm just about to watch. This guy came out of nowhere, it seemed. Very impressed. Very impressed with this kid. And... to me, I can't believe how Hamilton finds these running backs over and over again. I mean, the Argos got Slayton, but he's a big name. You know what I mean? Like, how Hamilton finds these guys that aren't big names.
Yep. And see, the thing about it is, the college he came from UCF, University of Central Florida. They produce a lot of good football players, a lot. Good football players, so it's not uncommon for Hamilton to find them diamond in the rough players that can come along and come on the scene and you know have at it. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Hats off to Quincy McDuffie, man. That guy played. He played his tail off.
Woo, UCF Knights, Mike.
Yep, UCF Knights.
My daughter's going there in September.
Oh, there you go. You get to see a lot of football games, Tammy.
Yeah, I can't wait.
You'll get to see
some
good football.
CFL next year? Just laugh out loud.
All right, that was just silly. That was funny, but it was silly.
Well, whatever.
That's okay. I can take.
Hey,
dummy.
You know what, Frank? Well, we need to address. We talked about it a little bit, but one thing that I want to touch on real quick. I'm not going to make it a long one. I agree with what you said about the Red Blacks. They need to find some type of receiver to come in there and squeeze that ball and hold on to it because they're trying to make Marcus Henry their number one go-to guy. he had a good game, but he need to be a complimentary receiver. They need a main target there, man. They need a number one go-to guy.
It's like Fred Stamps. Now, he's been hurt, but, you know, he couldn't do it by himself in Edmonton, could he? And now we got a guy in Edmonton who's just killing it. And that's what matters, is depth, you know, receiving. A quarterback needs some options, you know. It's so hard. It's so hard as a quarterback to carry the burden of having to live and die strictly on your ability to throw, and you don't really have guys that can, you know, that can actually catch for you, you know. They make each other look good. You know, I'm not one of these guys that believes that one great guy can make a bad guy look good. I just don't think that's real. You know, you need to have a great guy can turn good guys into great, but they got to be good. There's got to be some good in there. You know, there's got to be some.
And it goes to the Gretzky thing. Gretzky can't just take the whole team when he played for Edmonton, right? You have to have everything come together, right?
Absolutely.
But anyways, my player of the week, I'd have to say, just because, not because I'm a Stamps fan, but it's because that's basically the only game I really watch fully. So I'd have to say Simpson for the Stamps there, interception touchdown, and 6 or 7 tackles, I believe, and Harris for BC. And no, we've got to put Mallett in there for a bit too, so.
No argument there, and I'd like to throw Steve Slayton in as well. 2 touchdowns, you know, first game. He's been in and out of rehab, if you will. He's done some pretty good stuff as well for the Argos. And to make it a Darius Bowman, you know, can you imagine if Fred Stamps was healthy? I mean, that guy is awesome. He is.
Here in Alberta, we don't want to see him be that good.
Well, the Calgary portion of Alberta, but the Edmonton version is quite happy with him doing what he's doing, and he's helping Riley look more brilliant. We know that Riley's a great quarterback. We know that, but it sure is nice to have guys like that to catch. You know, Ricky Ray, you know, has he doesn't have his guy, you know, his safety valve. You know, Jay Barnes is not in the lineup. He's a guy that Ricky uses, you know, when things aren't looking good downfield or one of his passes or his corner routes isn't going. So, you know, and this is what I mean about great quarterbacks and good receivers. And then you have Chad Owens. I mean, he's a great receiver and you have a great quarterback, and we all know what kind of combination that creates. You have that going on now in Winnipeg, Tammy, you know, where you have you know, a great quarterback, and now you got some great receivers. Even Fioli, who screwed up and then made up for it against Hamilton, ex-Argo guy that I saw every week, almost every day last year when I was going to the practices. You know, this guy came out of nowhere as well. But, you know, his coach saw something in him in practice, brought him along, and you know, he's helping to make that team. He made a big catch, which eventually I think was the big play on that drive for the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and Clarence Denmark, too. I think he's got a lot of potential,
The potential. He's the best guy you've got. He is, you know, he's a guy we haven't mentioned, but he's a guy who makes the key receptions at the key time. Dependable.
He does. He is dependable. I think he's always there when he needs him. He runs a lot with Grigsby, but Grigsby's last game wasn't so great, but this game was pretty good. But Denmark just always seems to be dependable, like you said.
Yeah, no. Clarence Denmark is one of the elite receivers. I'd put him up. He'd be on my hand as one of the top 5 receivers this year. Clarence Denmark.
It has been so long since we've had that.
Yeah, well, you know, you weren't part of the show last year. And when they went through the draft, I was surprised, and I said at the time, and I believed at the time, that Winnipeg had a lot of great receivers. And they got off lucky, you know. They didn't lose much in the draft in receiving, but that's because Ottawa wasn't interested in receivers. They were interested in defensive and offensive lines and Canadians. That's what they were interested in. And, the Canadians, of course, they have that option, right. You know,
I don't know. I think Will Ford, too, for Saskatchewan's probably a good offensive pick, too.
Yeah, well, that's you letting him go.
Yeah, well, Fred Stamps, Will Ford, the list goes on and on, doesn't it?
yes, it does.
Fred Stamps drives me nuts to this day. I just, I don't understand it.
Right.
Why they would ever let him go.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I was talking about Mike Sims. Remember, I was talking about Mike Sims-Walker that played for Winnipeg last year.
Right, right.
He did real good, and I just looked at, I was looking at some info on him, and Winnipeg had released him right after the season was over with. And, you know, that would have been, he probably would have been a good fit for Henry Burris in Ottawa, you know, being the number one guy, because he was actually showing some playmaking ability when he was in Winnipeg.
I think,
I thought y'all was going to keep him.
I think we're going to be keeping the better ones now. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm putting a lot of faith in Mike O'Shea and the offensive coordinator, but it seems to be a smarter group of people in there, right from the general manager to everyone. You know, Mac is gone, and so many things have changed there. And the look of the team this year, I mean, come on, Winnipeg hasn't seen this for years. Not even
the time you got to get insight on is like, wait till the West starts playing West, and that's what's going to happen with Winnipeg and Saskatchewan this weekend, right? And
don't you know
it. We've seen what happened with Calgary and BC. It was a close game. Calgary and Edmonton the week before was a close game. So that's going to, I don't know, someone's going to pull away. I just don't know who. I'm hoping to stand.
I don't know either. I don't know because it's all so tight. But I think whoever breaks away, it's not going to be you know, a big gap.
And you're not guaranteed a playoff spot even when you make the playoffs. So there you go.
Right.
You're not guaranteed a win when you make the playoffs anyways. So
right.
That's why I love the book CFL. Anything can happen.
Yep.
And Mike, do you think Mike Sims-Walker's age is what gets in his way, the fact that he's 30?
No. I think what got in Mike Sims-Walker's way was in the NFL he was too overconfident and couldn't be coached.
And do you think that became a problem here?
No, I think what happened was I think he kind of was humbled when he came to the CFL. He took the NFL for granted. You know, he wasn't really that guy that you can go to in a locker room that, you know, talk to him, immature, you know, fighting with the other players. Then he had some problems, you know, some family problems with his dad dying and stuff like that. You know, so I think when he came to the CFL, he kind of humbled himself because, you know, CFL teams are like this. If you're a cancer and you're a headache, you're not going to care who you are.
And, you know, reputations are hard to undo.
Yeah. And I thought maybe, you know, because he showed a lot of bright spots in Winnipeg's offense last year when they had Max Hall. I mean, he was the go-to guy last year. So I figured, hey, okay. You know, you have Mike Sims-Walker, you got Clarence Denmark. I mean, you know, you add a couple more pieces to that offensive arsenal, man. Mm-hmm. They're gonna be all right. But then when they released him, I was like, oh wow. I really was.
Yeah,
and
he's still a free agent, and he's still a free agent.
Yeah.
He hasn't got a sniff yet.
Yep. That's why I'm like, you know, Ottawa. It won't hurt you to bring him in. It won't hurt you at all to bring him in.
The other thing is that quarterbacks know players. You know, and just like the Argos brought Mo back to the team. Why? Because Ricky Ray knew him. And they decided, well, let's bring him back. Maurice Mann, I'm referring to. Let's bring him back in. And, you know, they had some chemistry. We're desperate here. let's do something. And I happen to think that's one of the reasons why I'm kind of disappointed in Ottawa, because they're in the same boat. You know, they need to help their quarterback. They've got to support their quarterback. And that's the kind of move that they need to make. And if they don't make it, it just makes the wheels fall off even more, you know, when you're having a bad run. And they're in a dangerous position here. After that first victory at home against Toronto, they really do need to insist on proving that they have reason to be confident. And without a good receiving core, you know, as much as they've got a great running game, if that's all you've got, that running game is going to dry up real quick. You know, the CFL has a lot of great teams.
Running game's only going to take you so far.
Well, you've got to always...
What does Ottawa have after Burris when he retires?
Yeah.
Nothing, really.
How much longer is he going to go?
So,
I think he's good for 2 years at least.
Yeah, but that's, you know, they're thinking ahead of time. They're not... Well, they weren't thinking ahead of time, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What's Burris now, 39?
Did what he needed
Kevin
to
Glenn,
do.
38, I mean, you know, they get up there to that
age. Yeah, but Schmitty, as far as... Listen, there's two things that you need to be successful. Money and luck. And without money, you're not going to have any luck. And you know what? Ottawa needed to sell out the stadium. They needed to get some buzz going on. And nothing that they did or could have done that would have brought as much buzz as bringing Burris in. Burris was a godsend to them. He gave their team credibility. You know, no matter how much we talk about how great a draft it was and all that kind of crap, Burris is the guy that made it happen. All due respect to Kevin Glenn. Kevin Glenn might have been a better quarterback for them this year. It might have been a better quarterback for them in a couple of years. You know what I mean? But we're not going to know because they went for the guy that was the flash, and Burris is the flash for good reason. It's a great quarterback. And now that they're selling tickets, now they got to figure out what to do with the money that they get and use it wisely to bring in, to fill gaps and not let this, this head of steam die. You know, there's a lot of people who think that, oh, you know, the fans will be patient for a couple of years. But, you know, with all the built-up greatness that we've all talked about and we all feel about the Ottawa Redblacks, I don't think the fans are going to take a team that loses 14 games this year. I don't think they'll be happy with that.
No, and I don't want that to happen either. I don't want to see that.
Right.
I want to see him.
But you know, that's
sort of,
what'll happen.
You know, whatever. I picked him first place, but now I'm into the position where, you know, a 500 team would be, you know, all right sort of thing, right?
Yep.
Do you think? Do you think the way they stand right now, they're going to be a 500 team with no fixes, standing
no,
pat?
No. No.
Thank
no.
you.
No, I don't think so either. But I'm going to tell you guys what's going to happen. Now, you know, we had the first NFL preseason game last night. Once these preseason games start going on the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a lot of good receivers that are going to be released because of the numbers game. And I think Ottawa's going to wait for a lot of the good receivers to get released. And make some contract offers to bring some guys, you know, for the border. I mean, it's not going to hurt them. It's not going to help them. You know, they're just going to see what they can bring in because they're going to shuffle that team up a little bit as soon as everybody gets their cut and then being released from other teams.
There's going to be a lot of low-hanging fruit in the NFL.
Yeah,
They got 1 month for cuts by the NFL, so that's 4 weeks in the CFL. So. You know, anything can happen, but you know what? Like I said from day one, it's if you can't step up the plate, then, you know, we're just going to cut you.
But isn't it traditional, guys, and being a CFL fan, so I love about the CFL, there isn't just a preseason, there isn't just an early season. There's all these different times in the year where things get goosed up. And the biggest change in the CFL team's fortunes happens at Labor Day. That's when it all...
Yeah, I was just going to say
that's
too,
when the rubber hits the road, baby.
Yeah,
that's when, you know, when your peak opportunity and the decision, you know, not only do you get to bring in the players because the low-hanging fruit in the NFL at that time, but also contracts have to be committed. You know, you have to commit at Labor Day. That's when guys get to know whether they're going to be, once they're on the team at that time, they're on for the rest of the year. So there's a lot of things that happen that make Labor Day and the Labor Day games as exciting as they are, and moving forward beyond Labor Day. That's the great thing about the CFL. Things really start to kick into gear at Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we'll see these moves. This is where, you know, I guess you're right, Mike, that Ottawa will wait to make the moves there. But I just don't think they should be waiting till then. You know, that's 3-4 weeks, 3-4 games. I think
I
they
agree
need
with
to.
You, Frank.
I think they need. You know, the teams that are great are the ones that make moves when they're necessary. They don't wait for a convenient time to do it. They act when they need to. And right now, what we're seeing is Ottawa standing pat with the receiving corps, when even guys like me know that the receiving corps isn't as good as it should be. You know, the same thing's true with the Argos, right? They have, if things don't warm up like they did, they brought Mo Mann in. Now, people might laugh at that decision, but it's a small little move that, you know, he made a couple of key catches, and in my opinion, he's one of the reasons why they won the game against Montreal. You know, he kept some drives alive. And that little bit of help with a guy that you may not, he may not be around in a couple of weeks, right? He might slide back into retirement. He'll make himself some change, and he'll make a difference for the Argos. Great. As an Argo fan, I'm grateful for that. You know, we don't necessarily need Ocho Cinco. You know what I mean? We just need some help in receiving right now because we're suffering that way. Ottawa's suffering that way. And you look at what Hamilton did, McDuffie. I mean, they needed help at running back or at punt returning, you know, special teams. They got a fix. They're not waiting until the NFL starts shedding those guys that we're all looking for, right? You know, the same things with look at Saskatchewan. They brought in Will Ford. You know, why wait? Make something happen. Look at Calgary. Mallett. Why wait? Bring in some guys that can make a little bit of difference, and if they make more than a little bit of difference, you're going to win more. And that gets the wheel.
And who's hanging in the wings is Charles Hughes, right? So, you know, and then corners. But I had sights out of Calgary from my family there that corners could be out for the whole season. So, but why, like you said, why wait?
Well, if you wait, you know what happens, right? And this is why I say the West has more depth, because they have to. This isn't the first year that the West has had better records than the East. This is not the first year this has happened. It's been happening for a while, you know? So, you know, and there's a reason for that. And there's a reason why teams in the West are motivated to fix things quickly, because they don't have, you know, a weak Argo team, you know, three, four years ago, not to worry about, because behind you, you're not getting any pressure. In the Western Division, there's pressure on the top three teams all the time, between themselves alone, never mind the other teams that are in division, right? And now we're seeing
I think that's been a problem with teams, though, with depth. They haven't concentrated on that enough, and I think that's what Mike O'Shea brought to Winnipeg also, is because when Aaron Kelly was put in there this last week, he was great.
Exactly.
Did you get any of you guys happen to see him? Mike, did you see him, Kat?
Yeah. He was great.
Yeah, he really was. And I was surprised because I was a little worried. But it was – and then Mike O'Shea had commented on that. And, you know, and it's true, you know, because a few people have made comments that, well, if he's gone, who's going to take his place? Well, that's the whole key to success, isn't it?
Right. That you have – you know, around here in these parts and in the CFL, I think it's common knowledge that just because you have a position and a contract doesn't mean, you know, as soon as you find a guy for a position, you're already looking for ways to replace him. That's what the good teams do. It's the sad reality of you know, professional sports. It has nothing to do with personal stuff. It's business.
John Huffnagel. He's not stupid.
Who is? A lot of people are, but yeah, you know, as soon as you find, like, look, they got Cornish. Cornish is hurt. It doesn't look like he's going to come back real quick. Well, let's go find somebody that can replace Cornish. Not somebody that is okay to have as a running back. We need a guy that can give us big yards, right? It's how you set your sights and how you develop a team. And as I said earlier, the depth is the teams that win championships have depth. It's that simple, you know? It's that simple. And, you know, and it's about finding talent, too. You know, like you got to find the talent, sign it, and ensure that it can, you know, help you pick up where you left off, wherever that missing link is, right?
Exactly. I mean, Calgary for the last five, six years have the best road record in the whole league. I can't remember, it's 5 or 6 years, but, you know, sometimes, you know, when I watch Calgary, sometimes I wish they could play on the road because they got a good road record. They got a good coach. They got a good coaching staff.
Well, there you go.
Some of the players I don't agree with, but you know what? You have to still have faith, right? And Calgary will not let what happened in the 90s happen again, ever again, with Faturek and stuff like that, right? It's John Huffnagel's show, and that's the way it's going to be for who knows how long. It's a good feeling, and the fans are, Calgary fans are a little bit different, but you know, they're nothing like the Saskatchewan fans, but they're different. But
difference
they don't
is going to replay the 80s.
Yeah, well,
they're going to try to. They're going to try to. Can't blame them. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. We'll talk about Edmonton and dynasties. I mean, on Facebook, you get people talking about Saskatchewan's the next dynasty. Really? The next dynasty? What position are they in the West?
Did you know in Canada we have no fair catch rule?
No fair catch?
No fair catch.
Holy mackerel.
You know, hopefully there's Aspen on the side with the medics.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
No fair catch? Injuries? I see some pain.
That could be kind of dangerous. I believe somebody would get killed like that.
You guys like it violent up there, huh?
CFL. We play by our own rules. Why do you think it takes you guys 4 downs to get 10 yards? We only need 3 up there.
Because we always make mistakes.
We're just kind of slow, you know, laid back. Got to get an extra down in before we can get our 10 yards.
Yeah, they give us one just in case.
I love 4 downs. First down, second down, third down, you know, fourth down.
They're saying you're better than us.
They want the game to go slower, I guess, for the commercials.
Y'all are obviously better. Must be the long winters, maybe.
They have longer legs. Are they faster? Is there, you know, better gene pool?
In the CFL, the play clock is 20 seconds rather than 40.
20-second play clock. Quicker tempo.
Well, they better be a lot smarter men on the field then.
Yeah, man, the respiratory system needs to be in good shape.
That's pretty quick.
That doesn't sound very fair. It doesn't give them enough time. They barely have time to do it here.
God forbid there's a different defense.
Oh, boy, that's fast. I mean, you got to get it done.
I say 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I get them an extra 10 seconds.
20 seconds, you know. That would keep things moving and grooving.
You know, in the Canadian Football League, we have 12 guys instead of 11. What do you think, an extra man out there?
Of course. They all look good in their pants.
Ooh, can I take him home? I think you can never have too many men in tight pants on a football field.
And we have unlimited motion in our backfield.
Wow.
You know?
A whole new realm of possibilities, huh?
And they're ready to go again in 20 seconds.
Where is this again?
That's interesting.
I may have to rest up a little. CFL, I got to watch it. Go Canada.
Yeah, because our football league is sexy. Earlier... this week, apparently John Bon Jovi wrote a letter to the Buffalo News, Buffalo Evening News, stating that they will want to keep the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. The only problem is, as many of the Buffalo, New York football fans pointed out, there was no commitment to long-term longevity in staying in Buffalo. Now, that's a great statement to make if you're in Toronto, because the gullible folks here in Toronto would buy that in a second. But in Buffalo, they're pessimistic. And the reason they're pessimistic is that they're not a city that has a lot going for it. Now, there's nothing wrong with Buffalo. It just doesn't have a lot of business, and it isn't, you know, it's the 55th. That's right, 5-5 TV rated area, you know, for television and basically economic from that perspective of TV and business and stuff. They're 55th. There's not 55 teams in the NFL. There's a lot of other cities in the United States that could far better support the team. But they have the team right now, and they'll fight tooth and nail to keep it. And I don't blame them. And this is why I am not concerned at all for a second about the NFL coming to Toronto. And even if Buffalo comes to Toronto, here's the thing that I want you all to think about and to remember. Ask yourselves, what's it going to cost for a ticket, wherever it is that they play, they'll have to build a $1 billion stadium. How much is it going to cost for a ticket to an NFL game here in Toronto for an NFL team that actually is Toronto's team? When the real excitement kicks in, not that we're borrowing a team like Buffalo, like that's like, you know, we're going to see a Buffalo team. Not that excited. But if it becomes a Toronto team, the tickets will be extremely expensive. The CFL will not suffer, not for a second, because the people that will be going to the NFL will be going because, A, they're the NFL-type fans. You know, they love the gambling. They love the idea that it's the NFL. For those of us, the rest of us, for those of us that love the game of football and love it played Canadian style, we will hang around not only in the same numbers, but in better numbers, because quite frankly, when you think about it, if someone says to you, give me $250 and we'll go watch the NFL game. Okay, let's go watch the NFL game, and you spend $250 and you sit and watch the NFL game. And, you know, it's all pomp and circumstance, and the football's okay. Then somebody says, you got $40, let's go watch a CFL game. Now, set aside the fact that there's empty seats. Set aside that kind of stuff. Just ask yourself a simple question. Is NFL football worth that much more to you? And trust me when I say this, we're an economic, we drive the Canadian economy. That's what they tell us anyway. Buffalo doesn't drive the U.S. economy. But still, there are people in this town who are going to get a chance to see up close how good the NFL is. And for those that have had a chance to watch the CFL are going to make a decision that's educated and based on watching a game played live. Now, admittedly, there'll be more people there. The excitement level, because of the more people, will be a little bit higher. But the real question that I have is, will it be worth to pay, you know, 20 times as much or 10 times as much to go to an NFL game as it is to go to a CFL game? Will the difference between the two games be that big that you'd be willing to not go to a CFL game? That's my question. Guys, you got about 90 seconds. Do you have any opinion on what I just talked about?
I agree with you totally, 110%. And I don't agree with it. I'd rather spend $240 and be in a dog market here. No, but just in a suite there in Calgary and stuff like that, than to just see one game way up in the stands sort of thing. So I don't know, it's just stupid. Plus, our game's way better than theirs. So
how about you, Dan?
Well, I have a son that's an American, and he is an avid NFL fan, and I took him to Winnipeg to a football game, and he said, I love the NFL, but I've never felt what I felt in the stadium in Winnipeg. He said, there is way more passion.
And that is typical of the CFL. You know, we make fun of the Riders, those of us who aren't Rider fans. But I always try to say I still admire their passion. You know, that passion is Canadian passion. Our love for the game, which has nothing to do with who earns more money, because we really don't care about that. We just like watching great football, and we have a great opportunity to do that. Guys, thanks for being on the program. Sorry, Christopher, we didn't get back to you, but you were probably very busy with a lot of friends. Something apparently Mr. Schmidt and Tammy and I don't have. So we were left with John. So I think maybe possibly also our buddy Bruce John Inch, who had friends to talk to. And, of course, our good buddy Mike Townsend probably had a line of people wanting to talk to him. But we hope we carried the ball a little bit. Guys, thank you so much for being on the program. You've been listening to Candid Frank. The CFL is the...